Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the cleansing power that there is in the blood of Christ. We thank the Lord tonight that his blood cleanseth us from all sin. We thank the Lord tonight that if we confess our sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Eternal God and our Father, we pray this evening that as we come to consider man, what we are by nature, O God, we pray that tonight those still in their sin, Lord, those still in that state by nature, and far from God, enemies to God, we pray, Lord, that this night they might come to that fountain that has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. Lord, that this night they might be saved. Lord, that this night they might plunge neath that fountain that's filled with blood. Our Father, our God, we pray for the covering and the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, defeat the powers of sin and Satan. And shut us in now with God, we ask of thee. Remove every distracting thought. Come upon us, come amongst us. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Gilbert Baker, an American artist and gay rights activist, was the designer and the originator of the Pride rainbow flag, which really is a misnomer because it is not a rainbow as we know it. But it has now become the symbol of what is termed as the Pride movement. But not only has it become a symbol of the sodomite movement across the world, but very quickly and very rapidly, it has also been adopted as the symbol of almost every organization and institution, from banks to supermarkets, from restaurants to multinational companies. The bandwagon for the Pride movement has become so overcrowded in recent years that they're falling over themselves to identify themselves with such a minority movement and what still represents a minority of the population. This year, for the first year, the Pride flag was flying from the City Hall here in Belfast. And a number of local authorities have been quick to adopt motions to have their civic buildings lit up in the Pride colours. In 1978, Baker designed a rainbow for use at the Pride parade that year. But rather than seven colours of the natural rainbow, he had eight colours. However, due to problems of trying to produce that additional colour and the expense that it would incur, the number of colours then were cut down to six. And the pink and the turquoise colours were dropped, leaving just six colours in the Pride rainbow. The rainbow that we see in the sky, God's promise, that sign of covenant, that sign of promise, that sign of mercy, God's rainbow, we know tonight, has seven colours. You will know the acronym as to how you can remember those colours. God's rainbow has seven colours. Man's rainbow, the Pride rainbow, has six. And I want tonight, I trust very simply, to consider what that teaches us about humanity. What that teaches us about pride. And most of all, what that teaches us about sin, because it is not without consequence or coincidence that the symbol that has now been hijacked by the sodomite movement and every other ungodly movement as well is so far removed from the beauty and the glory and the splendor that God set in the sky that we know as the rainbow. Three things this evening that I want to point out to you that the Pride rainbow reveals to us. I want you to see, first of all, that it reveals to us the heart of man. The pride rainbow with its six colors reveals to us tonight the heart of man. When we think of the six-color rainbow used as a symbol of immorality and used as a symbol of sin, it speaks to us and reveals to us so much about the heart of man by nature. The colored rainbow of God is a beautiful, splendid sight in the sky. It truly is a marvel of God's creation. It speaks to us of the majesty and the glory and the splendor of God, but it is especially the number seven, the seven colors of the rainbow that I want to home in for a moment. Seven in Scripture always speaks of perfection. Seven in Scripture always speaks of completion. Seven in Scripture always speaks of something that doesn't need to be added to or taken away. It speaks of that which is final and needs nothing added to. The most obvious are the numbers of the days of the week. The word created is used seven times when it speaks about God's creative work there in the opening chapters of Genesis. The 6 days of creation, the final day of rest, the Sabbath, all speaks of completion and achievement. It doesn't need to be added to. In Exodus chapter 22, in the verse 30, we find that the animal sacrifice, it was to be beat at least seven days old before it could be used then as a sacrifice. You think of Naaman, the Syrian captain who was told to dip in the River Jordan seven times in order to be healed from his leprosy. And that is not without consequence, because it wasn't until he dipped the seventh time that he was healed of his leprosy. And he had a perfect healing, a total healing. A healing that didn't need to be added to. A healing that was divine. A healing that was not made in the inventions or the imaginations of man. There are other sevens in Scriptures, the seven pairs of each clean animal that was to come into the ark, the seven stems on the menorah, the candles, the lampstand and the tabernacle, the seven churches that John wrote to, the seven seals of God's judgment in Revelation. Even when we go back to the original language, the Hebrew word that is translated bow has seven letters in it. That bow that came after the flood in the original has seven letters. Those things are not just mere incidentals. It all speaks of completion and perfection. Six, however, is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. And in the fall, man became weak, man became sinful, enslaved to his sin. He was beguiled and overpowered by the serpent, by sin itself. It all speaks about man, it all speaks about sin and perverseness. You'll know that in the book of Revelation, the beast is represented by that unholy trinity, 666. There were six cities of refuge. Those cities were needed. Why? Because of man's sin, because of man's weakness, because of the imperfection of man. So the number six all points to man in his imperfect state before God. It shows to us how that man falls short of God's perfection. Just as six falls short of seven, so man by nature falls short of God's perfection, God's perfect standard. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the pride rainbow, therefore, with its six colors, reminds us tonight of the heart of man. That man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God's perfection, God's perfect standard, man by nature, man because of sin, has fallen short of that. The rainbow in Genesis came about because of the wickedness of man's heart. God saw that man's heart was only evil continually, and it repented him that he had made man upon the earth. And folks, when we think of this matter tonight, this matter of sin, and what that rainbow, that pride rainbow, unwittingly and unaware, I believe by the vast majority of those who would parade around in it, what they are doing tonight is openly revealing their heart by nature. They're openly showing to God that I'm a sinner. But the problem is they do not see the wickedness and the perverseness of their sin. And those yesterday, and there were sights yesterday that were wretched. But those yesterday who paraded themselves with such vileness, they didn't see just how their sin was in the sight of God. You see, tonight sin is no light matter. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is a damning thing. Sin brings the condemnation of God. And when man fell in the garden, he fell from that perfect state in which he was created, and in falling, it brought upon him the condemnation and the wrath of God. God hates sin. Sin is opposite to everything that God is. Sin is wretched. God is good. Sin defiles. God is pure. Sin damns. God saves. Sin destroys. God gives life. You see, sin, our hearts by nature are totally opposite to God. It runs contrary to the very character and the purity of God. And it doesn't go unnoticed by God. He sees sin. And I say tonight to those who are in this meeting without Christ, you would probably have no truck or time with the pride movement. Tonight you would be as repulsed as we are about the events in our capital city and across our nation. And tonight you would be as grieved, perhaps, as we are about the attempts of our government, our sovereign government, to bring in legislation in our land that would murder infants in the womb and also allow God's ordained plan for marriage to go unnoticed. You would be repulsed by that. I believe you would. But listen, we all have sinned. And we all have fallen short of God's standard. Tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, then you are still in your sin. And as far in the sight of God is concerned, you're as wretched, you're as vile as those tonight who would so blatantly and brazenly parade their sin and promote their sin. Tonight, you are a sinner by nature, sinner by practice. And it's that sin tonight that will separate you from God. It's that sin this evening that is seen by God, and it's that sin tonight that damns you and condemns you. Oh, that tonight you would see that right now your heart by nature condemns you. Your sin tonight, because of your sinful nature, the wrath of God is abiding on your head. Oh, that tonight you would see just how you stand before a holy God. Not tonight you would see that before God you are a sinner. And listen, And I say this reverently and respectfully, but I say it with love and kindness to your heart. You continue on in your sin. And you live in your sin. Upright, moral, good living, and all the rest of it. You die in your sin. You will be damned to the same hell as every sodomite tonight who refuses Christ as their Savior. Sin is no light matter. The pride rainbow, it reveals the heart of man. It reveals that man before God is a sinner. It reveals not only the heart of man, but I want you to see this evening in the second place that it reveals the hostility of man. Following on then from man's sin, the pride rainbow, and particularly the reduction of numbers from the perfect rainbow, from the perfection to the imperfection, shows just how hostile man by nature is to that which is of God. You see, man has always, because of sin, rebelled against and been hostile to God. We were thinking a few weeks back in our studies in Philippians about the enemies of the cross, the children of disobedience, the children of wrath, as we were reading in Ephesians chapter 2. Man has always lived his life in rebellion and in opposition and in hostility to the Lord. We were born enemies of God. We were not born the friends of God. Get that notion out of your mind. We were born enemies to God. We were born separated from God. We deserve nothing from God. And I don't care what any supposed Church of Ireland cleric might tell us. We are not born loved by God. We are born the enemies of God. We are born haters of God. We are born with our backs to God, born in sin, and sin is totally hostile and opposite to all that the Lord is. Romans chapter 5, Paul writes and he says, "For if while we were enemies of God. If while we were enemies of God," it speaks of how we were by nature. Sinner tonight in this meeting without Christ, you are an enemy to God. You tonight are hostile to God. You say, "Oh no. No, no, I wouldn't say that. I agree with all that you say. I agree with the Scripture. I agree with the Word of God. I'd never say anything." Listen, if you're in your sin tonight, you're an enemy of God. Those who paraded around our streets yesterday, they may have had the acceptance of popular opinion. Sadly, they do. And they also had the approval of our sovereign government, and sadly they do. But they had the anger of God, the wrath of God. And it matters not whether public opinion may be for us or against us. Listen, if we have the disapproval and the disappointment of God, it doesn't matter who is with us. God's against you. And sinner tonight, in your sin, you are hostile to God. Oh, this notion today that we're all God's children. In the sense, of course, we are. He has made us. We are His creation. But of course then, that would be denied. Tonight, you're not a child of God if you're still in your sin.
You're not a son of God tonight. You're not, as we were thinking this morning, ready for heaven if you're still in your sin. One of the most awful, awful banners that was paraded yesterday, and all of the other banners that there were, was this one. Christians with pride. Christians with pride. Listen, God was against what happened yesterday. God was against the perversion and the vileness that was paraded around the streets of our capital city. God is against the legislation that is currently being passed in our sovereign government tonight. God is against it. And sinner, tonight, you're still in your sin. God is not your Father. And you are not his son. But those who paraded around our streets yesterday and paraded around the streets of many of our cities over these past number of weeks, their show, their spectacle, was an abomination. And I make no apology for saying it. An abomination to God. It was hostile to God. You see, whenever we boil it all down, and the LGBTQIA plus whatever other letters will be added to it by this time next year, what is it all about? It's all about hostility to God. It's not about rights. They've more rights than they ever had. And the Christian church, the true believer today, we're the ones without any rights. But thank God we know who's on our side. But it's not about rights. It's all about stubbing their fingers in the face of a holy God and saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. It's all about saying, I will not live my life according to the word of God. It's all about saying, I'll not live my life according to the commands of God or the standards of God. The Sodomites, they're saying, I will not abide by God's ordained institution of marriage, one man and one woman. Our moderator yesterday had a conversation with Church of Ireland. Well, he called himself a pastor, but he was standing outside St. Anne's Cathedral. He was in total agreement with all that was going on. And the Reverend Dean asked him, and he says, well, how do you then square with what you're saying? How do you square that with the Bible and God's ordained institution of marriage, one man, one woman? He says, God loves everybody. Now move on. He had no answer. And you see, when you bring people to the Bible, to the only rule of faith and practice, they have no answer. Man's idea will change. But the Sodomites are saying, I'll not live my life according to the standards of God. I'll do as I please. The transgender movement, who says, I will not abide by God's creation of only two genders, male and female. I'll rebel against that and I'll do my own thing. I'll live as I please. I'll determine what I am, when I am, want to be that. Then there's the abortionists, and they'll deny the truth that life begins at conception. They'll deny the truth that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb at the moment of conception. There's much more, as I said, than just rights. In fact, it's not about rights at all. It's just about outright rebellion. It's about being hostile to everything that God is and about being hostile to everything that God stands for. It's a departure from the Word of God. It's a denial of the Word of God. You see, what we see today being promoted in our nation, and what happened a few weeks back in the mother of all parliaments in Westminster, was not ensuring that people got their rights. It was just an outright denial of the Word of God. The Pride Rainbow is man's rainbow. It's inspired by Satan, provoking God to anger and to wrath. And those who paraded themselves around in the colours of the Pride Rainbow were not saying, "I'm tolerant," not at all. But rather they were saying, "I'm hostile and I hate everything that God stands for." Even the very nature and the colour of the Pride Rainbow, how it was added to and then taken away, it all points to the fact that man is not content with how God made things or the way God has ordained things. Man hates to live by God's standards. And when God says that marriage is between one woman and one man only, man rises in rebellion and says, "I'll live my life contrary to that." And when God says that man was created in the image of God, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, man will say, "I'll determine my own gender." Man is at enmity with God because man is born a sinner to God and a rebel to God. But yet in spite of all of that, you go back to the days of Noah. You think of what God saw there, how it grieved the heart of God. It repented him that he had made man on the earth, because man's heart was only evil continually. Yet there was a way back to God. There was a way that man who is far from God, that we who are enemies of God by nature, there is a way that we can be reconciled. We read in the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2, and we haven't even had time to look at it, how we were in our sin, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But verse 4 changes everything but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. Thank God tonight for all who are still in sin, bound by sin, under the wrath of God because of sin. There is tonight a way to God. We were singing about it. It's through the cross work of Jesus Christ. The Pride Rainbow, it reveals the heart of man. The Pride Rainbow, it reveals the hostility of man. But finally, as we close tonight, I want you to see that the Pride Rainbow, it reveals the hopelessness of man. It shows you that man will do everything and try his own way. That man in his sin and by nature is hopeless and helpless, that you can do nothing to save yourself. And when God pronounced his judgment on Noah's generation, and God said, "I will destroy man whom I have created," man was totally helpless to withstand or turn back that judgment. Little verse in Ezekiel, talking about the day of God's wrath and the day of God's judgment, it asks the question, "Who shall stand?" And sinner tonight, in your sin, there is absolutely nothing that you can do to withstand or turn back the judgment of God. God is angry with the wicked every day. Sinner, God is angry with you in your sin, and there is nothing that you can do to turn away that sin. But that's where grace and mercy steps in. That's where God steps in. That's where Christ, who endured God's wrath for all who would believe in him, comes with saving grace. Because even in the hopelessness of man's condition, even in the wretchedness of man's condition, alienated from God, separated from God, Christ died in order to reconcile the sinner to God. Through his death on the cross, through his blood tonight, thank God there is forgiveness for sin, there is pardon from sin, there is peace with God. And this evening, tonight, let's not look to national governments, local governments, any government or any power on this earth to help us or to save us. Let's look to the Lord. It's only an intervention of God that's going to save our land and nation. Thank God tonight, while we live in all the wickedness of this evil generation, there is hope. And our prayer, our cry tonight is of the prophet of old Habakkuk in wrath. Remember mercy. That verse that we quoted already, Romans 5 and the verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Tonight, our nation, which stands and already is, I believe, in a state of national collapse and chaos. Tonight, more than ever, this nation needs the gospel. That's why the gospel went forth yesterday. And God, I believe, gave our moderator great power as he preached. And there were those who were listening. Perhaps those who didn't think they were going to hear what they heard, they listened. And while there were those who certainly sneered and scoffed and laughed, yet there were those who listened. Because tonight the gospel, Christ is the only answer to our land, to our nation. We who were enemies to God were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We sing the little chorus, Ulster needs the Savior. It certainly does. It's always needed Christ. It's always needed the gospel. That is why it is incumbent upon us, for the Church of Jesus Christ, that we do not depart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we do not get away from the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That churches are not turned into community centers or social enterprises. But the gospel is preached in all of its fullness, because it's only the gospel. It's only the gospel of saving grace of Christ and his atoning work there that's going to save our land and our nation. And tonight, for you who are here without Christ, for you who are here still condemned by nature because of your sin, and while, as I've said, you may not have any truck with what went on yesterday, you're moral, you're upright, you're religious, you're good living, and all of that. But listen, if you don't have Christ, you're still a sinner. But it's Christ that can reconcile you to God. That in the midst of the hopelessness of man, there is hope. And that hope is found alone in the gospel. The contamination of man's heart because of sin. The separation of man's state because of sin can be removed and overturned
by the reconciliation of God's Son and salvation. The pride rainbow, it reveals the heart of man. It shows that man, by nature, is a sinner. You fall short, I fall short of that perfect standard of God. We can never attain to it. It reveals hostility, that we are enemies of God. We are opposite to God. It also reveals hopelessness, that we can do nothing to save ourselves. But thank God, in the midst of it all, and in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, we still have the hope of the gospel. And tonight we say with Paul, I am not ashamed. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And sinner, this evening, while your heart is contaminated and ruined by sin, and tonight, while that sin separates you from God, and if you were tonight to go out into God's eternity, you would be lost for all eternity. And you would share the same hell as every wicked, vile individual that ever walked upon this earth. But tonight, there is hope in the gospel. Tonight, Christ can reconcile you. There is no sinner he cannot save, and there is no sin that he cannot cleanse. This evening, when we look at the rainbow, not the pride rainbow, but when we look at the rainbow in the sky, God's rainbow, don't see pride, rather see mercy. That God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, for with he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Oh, sinner, tonight, you can be made alive in Jesus Christ. You can have a life that's worth the living. You're raised up together, made to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Your heart may be far from God, but you come to Jesus Christ tonight. You can be reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Tonight, it's Christ that you need. Don't come to me. By all means, if I can help you in any way. But you know what I mean. I can't save you. Don't rely on this church either, because this church can't save you. Tonight, only Christ can save. Tonight, Ulster needs the Savior. Sinner, you need the Savior tonight. You need him. Ere you go out into a lost eternity without him, die in your sin. May you come to Christ tonight. May God reveal to you tonight your sinful state. But in revealing to you how you are before God, may you see that there's a Savior, that there is a refuge, that there is a way that you can be brought to God. It's through Jesus Christ. He's the hope of your heart tonight, and he's the hope of our nation tonight as well. Let's bow.